Our scripture reading for today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into tonight's message. Holy Father, as tonight is Good Friday, and as we commemorate the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would grant us illumination to understand your word and to accept it, Lord. There is in no sense where we are ashamed of your gospel, Lord, for it is the power of salvation for all who believe. And so now, with full confidence that every word of Scripture is your very own word, and every word of Scripture is relevant, meaningful, and powerful for the lives and the benefit of your people, Lord, we pray now you would please speak to us for our comfort, encouragement, and sanctification. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This Good Friday evening, we are gathered to commemorate the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, we're reminded that although Christ Jesus was the eternal Son of God, who came in the flesh, full of grace and truth, sinless and perfect in holiness and righteousness, the world did not receive him. If there was anyone in the world who walked this earth who merited the praise, love, thanksgiving, and acclamation of the world, it was Jesus. He always did what was pleasing to God. Concerning Jesus, we read in Scripture, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He is likened to a lamb without blemish or spot. Scripture teaches that Jesus was he who knew no sin and who fulfilled all righteousness. Though in every respect he was tempted as we are, we read in Scripture he was without sin. Jesus is called in various places throughout the New Testament as both the Holy One and the Righteous One. And he's the only one to be described as such. Never even for a fraction of a second did Jesus have a bad attitude. Never for a split moment did he grumble or have an evil thought. All the moral attributes of God were perfectly manifest in him. And though God's own Son came into the world to save the world, to humble himself in his great love, and give his life as a ransom for many, the world reviled him, spat in his face, and hated him. As our text tonight states, Jesus endured from sinners such hostility against himself. In his commentary on the book of Hebrews, A.W. Pink summarizes the kind of hostility that our Lord endured in his ministry on this earth. He writes, "The Lord Jesus was derided as the prophet, mocked as the king, and treated with the utmost contempt as the priest and savior. He was accused of deceiving and perverting the people. His teaching was opposed, and his person was insulted. Because he conversed with and befriended publicans and sinners, he was murmured at. Because he performed works of mercy on the Sabbath day, he was charged with breaking the law. The gracious miracles which he wrought upon the sick and demon-possessed were attributed to him, attributed to his being in league with the devil. He was regarded as a low-born fanatic. He was branded as a glutton and wine-bibber. He was accused of speaking against Caesar, whereas he had expressly bidden men to render unto Caesar what rightly belonged to him. Though he was the Holy One of God, there was scarcely anything about him that was not opposed." It is a delusion to believe that if only Christians were more Christ-like, the world would embrace Christians. We need only to see how Christ was treated by the world to see that such an idea is nonsense. There are many reasons to strive for Christ-like sanctification. the love, acceptance, and admiration of the world is not among those reasons. Christ endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And to the degree that we are conformed to Christ's image, we will endure from sinners the same kind of hostility. As Cain felt condemned by the righteous deeds of Abel and hated him, so did the world feel condemned by the righteousness of Christ and hate him. And insofar as Christ's Spirit dwells in us and his righteous character is seen in us, so will the world feel condemned by us and hate us. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. This hostility of the world towards Christ and all who follow him is apparent in even the most sensitive and intimate of relationships. This is what Jesus declares in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Have we endured hostility against ourselves from even our own family because Christ is our King? Because we hold that his word, all of it, the sum of his word, is truth. And his law is written on our hearts. Have we endured the resentment and coldness of those of our own household? Because we have made it our aim to keep the commandments of our Lord and please him. Has a sword divided our house because of the absolute claim that Christ's word exercises over our lives? Are we enduring ridicule and mockery from those of our own house because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, hold fast to his word, and cling to his beloved people? Whether from our own household, or from former friends or acquaintances, or from the various institutions which influence society, if Christ Jesus is our Lord, we have endured hostility against ourselves for his name's sake. That's certain. Maybe for some of us who are listening to this message tonight, we've been finding this hostility particularly heavy and discouraging. How then do we run our race in the face of such hostility, the race of faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, with strength, vigor? We're told the answer in our text. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The word translated as consider in our text is analogizomai, which means to consider by weighing, comparing. To retain our vigor and strength to run our race in light of the hatred and opposition of the world that even extends to our very own house. That is what we must do. We must consider, compare. We must consider Christ and what he endured from sinners and compare his suffering at their hands with our own. When we feel discouraged by the hostility of the world towards us as followers of Christ, consider what Christ endured at the hands of the world. His humiliation at their hands was immeasurably greater than our own. He is the Lord of glory, the exact imprint of God's nature, the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is the righteous and holy one of God who is praised and adored by the angelic hosts, who stooped from the glory he had with his Father from all eternity and came into the world to bear our sins upon himself. Consider how, though he was perfect, though he did all things well, though all that he said was true, the world persecuted him. Consider how they insulted him and slandered him, saying that he was a servant of Beelzebul, a Sabbath breaker, demon-possessed and insane, a glutton and a drunkard. Consider how they grumbled at him, schemed against him, sought to stone him, dragged him out of town to throw him off a cliff. How their hearts were filled with murderous hatred towards him. Consider how they spit on the face of our Lord and slapped him. How he was brutally scourged at their hands. How they struck him on the head with a reed while mocking him. Consider how they shrieked for his death. How they pressed a crown of thorns upon his brow. How they divided his garments and subjected him to the humiliation and agony of the cross. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Consider. Compare. Then we'll realize just how light the hostility we are enduring from sinners really is. We may feel that we're being hard done by the hostility shown towards us by certain people of the world. But if we were to carefully consider what Christ suffered at the hands of the world, we would realize that what we are enduring is nearly nothing compared to what he endured. We would realize that if the Lord of glory willingly endured so much for our sake, we can cheerfully endure the little that we must for his sake. Furthermore, when we carefully consider the great hostility Christ endured from sinners, we will realize that the far lesser hostility we endure from sinners is, in a small way, sharing Christ's suffering. We will realize that by enduring in this way, we are being like our teacher and our master, Christ Jesus. And that is always something to rejoice in. Acts 5:40-41. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Whether we fully realize it or not, it is an honor to walk in the steps of our beloved Master. Therefore, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow faint-hearted because of the hostility we are enduring for Christ's sake. Do not put our hand to the plow and look back, considering Christ. What we are enduring is light and easy. Consider him. Consider what he endured carefully and thoughtfully. Consider why he endured what he did. And when we do, what we are enduring will be brought into right perspective. It won't seem so burdensome and overwhelming anymore. Our strength to run this race of faith and our willingness to endure the little that we do for His sake will be renewed. That is what our text teaches us tonight. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pray. O Holy Father, we now put into practice what has been taught to us in Your Word, to consider carefully, thoughtfully, what Your Son endured from sinners, this hostility against Himself. We need to consider that. We need to consider it always, because we live in the reality of this world that is hostile to You and to all of Your followers in Christ Jesus. It is a myth, an illusion and delusion to think that if we were more Christ-like, that the world would embrace us, befriend us. No, for we see that in Christ Jesus Himself, the world was hostile towards Him and opposed Him in almost everything that He did. And so insofar as we are conformed to Christ's image, so we will endure hostility from sinners, from the world in darkness, from those who are subject to the devil against ourselves. And this is true even in the most intimate and sensitive of relationships, as Your Word has taught us, even in our very own families. You did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And how many families are divided by that sword. And even if we find at times it is difficult, sometimes even overwhelming, to face the hostility that we bear for the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, when we consider Your suffering at the hands of sinners, then our suffering, we can see, is really almost nothing at all. It is small. It is light. And so I pray now that as we've gathered here tonight on Good Friday, that we'll meditate on what Your Son endured from sinners against Himself, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted, but cheerfully bear whatever light burdens of hostility and suffering we are enduring with cheerfulness, with thanksgiving, with peace in our hearts, knowing that soon You will return and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will establish His rule over all the world, and every knee will bow before Christ Jesus. That is a day that we eagerly wait for. Until then, Lord, we pray that we would not grow faint, not grow weary, but continue in the race of faith, not putting our hands to the plow and looking back, but setting our eyes on the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.